So we'll be preaching on that this morning. Hope that you'll listen. It was help to me. All right, hey, we've been talking about the letter W, and we've been talking about witnessing. You could take your Bibles, and I guess the longer of the passage of Scripture that we'll read is 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25. It's just three short verses. I may even have you read them for me. But there are other passages of Scriptures that we'll hit before then. But to recap, how may I go? Our church has set times for visitation. All visits are conducted by two. We talked about this. In addition, you need to sit down and make a list of people in your own circle influence who are lost, relatives, neighbors, friends, workmates. So we were talking about going. God says go. And the question is, how can I go? Well, our church does set up times. As a matter of fact, my plans are this week at 4 o'clock on Thursday to set up a time for people to come together. And we've got all those door hangers. Now, those door hangers can be hung because it is actually 4 o'clock that the first Sunday night service will be met. And I'd like to blitz Fairmont. We're just going, just simple. I mean, you take a door hanger, one of these handy-dandy door hangers, and you hang it on the doorknob. Anybody can do that, unless you don't have arms. But anybody can do that, and it's you don't even have to talk to anybody. I mean, if you get an opportunity to talk to somebody, that's great. But I'd like to have every one of these on every door in Fairmont. And if I have to buy more, we'll buy more. But we made this. The Plan of Salvation's on the back. Our times of the services, and it's nicely done. It's wanted to be professionally done. It looked great. And so that's one way you can go. Maybe you say, well, I got to work 4 o'clock on Sunday or Thursday. I can't go. Well, I'll give you some and give you a street to go do yourself in your own time. I wouldn't do it in the middle of the night. You know, you don't want to be walking up to the door in the middle of the night. You might get shot. But do it on your own time. Another way to witness to somebody is to write down all your friends and neighbors that you want to witness to and ask God. And I'll be talking about this morning, too, in our morning service, but ask God to give you an opportunity to witness to your neighbor. Now listen, I think that everything needs to be done in God's timing. I think we should always be a witness, but I also think that sometimes we can be overbearing. And, you know, we could go over to our neighbors and kick their door down and say, bless God, you're going to go to hell. If you don't get saved, get saved. Well, that would be a very inappropriate way of doing that. And if you're the neighbor that always is preaching at them, if you're standing on the corner of your street preaching all the time, then your neighbors are probably going to think you're nuts and not want to hang around you at all. But you know what I've done is I've asked God to give me opportunities to witness to my neighbor. Open the door. Let me not miss the open door and let me walk into it. It's not complicated. When's the last time that you prayed that God would open the door for you to be able to witness to them? Maybe they came over there and said, I know you go to church every week. My granddaughter's really sick and I wish you'd pray for her. Open door right there. Open door. You didn't go over there and knock on her door and give them a 15-minute sermon on how you should go to an open door. They came to you. And this morning, while I preach on your disappointments may be a God's appointments, we're also going to be talking about how God opened doors for me to witness to my neighbor that I've been asking for 4 or 5 months, that God would give me an opportunity in his timing, in his way. And I didn't want to be too soon and I didn't want to be too late. And so you ask God to give you open doors, opportunities, find things that you have in common and look for open doors. But that was the word go. Now we're talking about the word so. So step one was go. Step two is so. S-O-W. You may need to go out of your way to help somebody. You may have to invite someone into your home for a meal. You may have to win the confidence and trust of persons first. But before they can be saved, the seed must be sown. We heard Brother Barry preach on this. This is nothing new. I remember a missionary coming in and saying, you know, I was wanting to witness to my neighbor and I heard a chainsaw. And I said, oh, opportunity. Probably won't turn down free labor. He's cutting up a tree, and if I help him, he would appreciate it. So that's what he did. He went over, took his chainsaw, says, "Can I help you?" They cut down that tree together, and he had an opportunity to witness, or at least sow. I'm not a farmer, you know that. I don't even know how to can green beans or cucumbers, you know that. But from my understanding, in order to be able to plant a seed, the ground has to be treated properly. I suppose, this has happened to me, we have these, every year we get pumpkins or whatever, my kids go to the pumpkin farm, and they always get to come home with a pumpkin, right? I'm hoping they come home with one of these little ones. You know, I don't want to carry that big old pumpkin around, but they always come home. Kids, the biggest ones they can find is the best one, right? So they bring these pumpkins. And so what my wife has done in the past is let them decay. So she just throws them under my pool deck. That's fine. I don't care. They're not. You know what's happened? I've got these vines. No pumpkins on them. I don't think they can handle the chlorine water. But I got these vines where the pumpkins have just thrown under there, and somehow they've taken root. And there's no pumpkins on them, but there's at least a pumpkin plant. So I guess it can happen. But in order to have the right kind of corn or green beans or whatever, probably need to take some kind of utility, a tractor, something to drag behind the tractor, or a hoe, or some sort of instrument where you can dig into the ground and get yourself the soil properly treated, so that when you plant the seed, you cover it up, you let nature take its course with proper sunlight, maybe some kind of nutrition that you may even throw out there, water for sure, and hopefully you'll have a garden. Well, the same thing with salvation. God refers to this as a planting farmers. You've got to prepare the land, and we've got to prepare the hearts of people. I just don't go over and start witnessing somebody and they get saved. Now, it's happened. Probably somewhere in the past, though, somebody has plowed the heart, prepared their heart. Hey, just wondering if you knew for sure that you're going to go to heaven someday. Somebody just took some kind of plow and just opened up the ground of their heart. No, I don't want to talk about that right now. But it's too late. The plow has already gone into the ground. The heart has already been opened somewhat. Because now they're walking away and they're sitting watching television, and all of a sudden that voice, "If I were to die today, would I go to heaven?" Well, I'd like to go to heaven. Is there a heaven? I don't even know if there is a heaven. I'm reminded of that man, and I don't have the story in front of me, but years ago, my dad read a story, sent me a story, and he read it to this church, and I've read it to this church as well. But it was about a guy in Australia, Sydney, Australia. And this old man, he wasn't a great soul winner. He was just an old man that got saved later in life. And he would stand at, I think, on George Street. And people would get off the boats, and visiting Australia, they get off the boats, and he would just say, "I was just wondering if you knew for sure you're going to go to heaven. It's something to think about." That's all he'd say. That's all he would say. That's all he would say. He goes, "Hey," he would just sit there. He was an older man. He goes, "Hey, sir, I was just wondering, do you know for sure that heaven's your home? It's something to think about. It's something to think about." And everybody that got off the ship, he would just say, "Hey, I was just wondering if you're going to go to heaven someday. It's something to think about." He didn't go through the plan of salvation. He didn't do anything except for that little statement. Faithfully for years. But the author, the writer of this story said, "You know, I was traveling. I was a preacher and I was traveling. And I heard a person give testimony that they were visiting Sydney, Australia. And a little old man on George Street asked him if they were going to go to heaven someday and that it was something to think about. And they couldn't get it out of their mind, so they called a preacher." Now, this just didn't happen in Australia. This happened in Australia. This was in America. This was in Canada. This evangelist was traveling around. Finally, he was in Canada on a meeting, and he said, and people were giving testimony, and a guy stood up and he goes, "I want you to know that I was in Australia." He says, "Wait, wait, 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 wait. Let me guess. You were in Australia, you got off the boat, you went to George Street, and there was an old man that asked you if you were going to go to heaven. It's something to think about. He said, how did you know that? He goes, because I've heard that story all over the world wherever I've preached. So when he went to Australia, he said, I talked to the preacher in Australia. I said, do you know a little old man that sits on George Street that asked? He goes, oh, yeah. He's disabled now. But yeah, I know that guy. You want to go see him? I'd love to. So this preacher took this evangelist to go visit this man. And this preacher said, do you understand that for all those years, I've traveled all over the world, and I get testimony after hundreds of testimonies about a little old man that sits on George Street that asks people if they're going to go to heaven. It's something to think about. He goes, you know how many people have gotten saved because of that? And the little old man started to cry. And he said, what's wrong? He goes, that's the first time I've ever heard that anything that I ever did was ever effective. He never knew until that evangelist told him. And for all those decades that he just sat there, he never saw the first fruit. He never saw someone get saved. But hundreds of people were saved, all because a little old man on George Street just asked a simple question. Hey, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven someday? It's something to think about. All he did was plow a heart. He took a plow and he scraped back. And that little tender ground plowing of the heart and tiny, tiny little seed planted couldn't get out of their heart and mind. And every one of these people looked up a missionary, a pastor, or an evangelist to tell them how they could know for sure that they would go to heaven. Every one of you could do that. But we get weary in well-doing. What if after a week this old man sitting there, he didn't have anything else to do, said, you know what, I'm not seeing any results, and no one's listening, no one's paying attention to me, I quit. But instead he did it for decades without seeing any fruit, not knowing that he had a harvest. We can do that. See, we've got to go, but we also got to sow. This little thing right here, you know what's probably going to happen to 99% of these things? It's not about the 99. It's about the one. Dad used to say this all the time to me. He said, Nathan, ministry is not about the many, it's about the one. Ministry is not about the many, it's about the one. I don't know if we're ever going to have 500 people here or 50 people here on Sundays anymore. It's not about the 500, it's not about the 50, it's about the one. Who's the one? Could be you. Could be me. I don't know. Who's the one? And so we just don't know. That little track that you give a waitress, I've changed up my tracks to business cards because they're a little bit more fancier and a little bit nicer, I think. So I give a business card. On the back of it has my plan of salvation. They're less likely to throw a business card away, although they probably will. They're less likely to throw a business card away. I can't tell you how many business cards I have in my office that I don't even know who they are. But if somebody gives me a business card, it must be pretty important to keep. And so on the back of that's plan of salvation. It's just a business card. It cost me $50 to make like a gazillion of them. And so I got business cards. I say, hey, I'm a pastor, and this is how I do it when I'm with the waitress. Hey, I'm a pastor of a church locally, and I was just wondering, and this is just my business card, and I would just like for you to come by and visit us sometime. Here's what I get almost every time. It's never happened, but this is what I get almost every time. Oh, I've been looking for a church. I'll probably come by and visit you someday. Now, none of them have ever come by and visited me someday. At least they're nice enough to say so. And maybe they will come by because forever's not over yet. But you know what? It's just simple. I don't know. When I get to heaven, I don't know how many tracts that I've handed out if somebody's gotten saved from them. Maybe thousands, maybe none. I don't know. But see, if we get the mentality that we have to sow, then what you're doing is effective. When we take the kids to Daytona Beach, And I'm in charge of the adults, and I take care of all the adults and their chaperones. They're the chaperones. I take care of all the adults and teach them and train them. And Brother Riley takes all the teenagers and teaches and trains them. And you know what we tell the adults and what Brother Riley tells the kids? Listen, it's not your job to save anybody. I tell my kids, listen, here's what you could do. Keep two different tracks. Tracks of people that got saved and tracks of people that you've witnessed to. Your reward is not about how many people get saved. Your reward is how many people you talk to. Well, I could talk to thousands. There's your reward. Only got five get saved. You didn't do anything to get them saved anyway. God doesn't tell you to save anybody. He tells you to tell people. So if you talk to 1,000 people, then you got 1,000. It's as if it's the same as if you saw 1,000 people get saved. There's no difference in the reward in heaven for you. Now, there's a difference for them. They won't go to hell, and you gain a brother. But over here, it's the same. God never told you to reap. He told you to sow. The fields are already wide into harvest, he said, but the laborers are few. Go ye therefore into the fields of the harvest and spread the word. And so this is our job. It's simple. Church track. You take a church track. You get up from your table today at a restaurant and you lay it down and you put your tip inside the track. That's it. Make sure that the dollar bill can be seen. They'll pick it up. They may throw the track away, but they may not. They may be so busy they throw it in their apron because they're just slammed. They're just throwing it in their apron. They're not even counting. They're not even looking. They get home after a tired day. They see this track. And just yesterday, they just got bad news about their mother dying of cancer, or they just got bad news that they had a problem, or their marriage is in shambles. And you don't know. That's why you sow. And right, the Bible says some's going to fall on hard ground, some's going to fall on soft ground, some's going to fall on, the sun's going to scorch it, the roots are going to eat it up, but then there's going to be some that fall into the right plowed field. And so we are to tell. Psalm 126 verse 6 says that they that go forth reaping, bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. That's Psalms 126, 6. Luke 8:11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So what am I planting? Well, with this little old man, he was just planting the idea of heaven. Somebody, though, in order to get that seed to grow, had to take this, the word of God. You know, you and I cannot do anything outside of the word of God. That's why when I witness to somebody, I quote scripture after scripture after scripture. Why? Because my opinion doesn't matter. Here's why my opinion doesn't matter. I've never been to heaven. I don't know how to get there. I couldn't build a rocket ship to fly there. I couldn't build a car to drive there. Heaven's up there. But in China, heaven's up there. I don't know where it's at. I don't even know if I could build a rocket ship that could go a gazillion miles an hour to get to heaven. I don't even know which direction to point it. So what's it matter if I think I know how to go to heaven? I mean, there are people that say if you're good, you go to heaven. There are people that say if you do this religion, you'll go to heaven. There are people that says if you get baptized, you'll go to heaven. There are people that say there is no heaven. There are religions that say there are many heavens, and there are many ways. Listen, I know nothing except for what God has told me, and this is what's important. The seed that we're sowing has to be the word of God. He promises that his word will not return void. That's why when you have an evangelist come in and they're preaching evangelistic messages, it's just one scripture after the other, 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 after the other. You're sitting there, as a believer, you're sitting there thinking, you know, I know all these scriptures. Why do they keep repeating them? Why do they? Because they're hoping that somebody is sitting there that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, and it's the power of the Word of God that won't return void. Not their opinions, not my articulate way of saying things. That's not what's going to win hearts. It's the Word of God that won't return void. I mean, you wouldn't even know what I preached 2 weeks ago. But if that word gets in your heart, it won't leave. It'll burn you. It's the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So here's 1 Peter 1:23 through 25. I told you to turn there, or asked you to turn there. Have you turned there? 1 Peter 1:23, 24, and 25. Why don't you read it for me? Are you ready? 1 Peter 1:23, 24, and 25. Being okay, did you see it? The scripture, the seed, the Bible says, is an incorruptible seed. Now, I don't know, do seeds go bad? You farmers, do seeds go bad? Seeds go bad. So if you have seeds that have been in your drawer for 100 years, they may not produce, I don't know if they will. But the Bible says the word of God is a seed that is incorruptible. It'll never go bad. I think sometimes as Christians, believers, I think the reason that we are fearful of witnessing or we don't because we're afraid of failure. I mean, the reason that most people don't try something is because they're afraid of failure. We like to be undefeated. You know how you go, you know there's one guaranteed way of going undefeated. Never to compete. If you don't compete, you can't lose. And I'm afraid that's the mentality of a lot of people, and it seeps into our spirituality unbeknownst to us, and we're like, well, if I witness to them and they don't get saved, and it's just gonna hurt me and I'll be a failure and they could die and go to hell and I'll be a failure. No. You can't fail with an incorruptible seed. Because it's not your job to save anyone. It's your job to sow. And you can't fail with an incorruptible seed. They have a choice, of course. God will not go against their free will. He is the most of all gentlemen. He won't go against a person's free will. And so a person doesn't want to trust Christ. They don't have to trust Christ. But the seed needs to be planted. And there are people that I've witnessed to, and they've never made a profession of faith. Did they get saved? It's not my job to save them. I've witnessed to people, and they've prayed the prayer. Did they get saved? It's not my job to save them. I don't know if they were praying the prayer to get me off the porch, or peer pressure, or they were sincere about asking Christ to come into their heart. I don't know a person's heart. Neither do you. So here's my encouragement to us all. We need to sow. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. I think you do. And I think you can do it so easily that you don't even have to be nervous about it. Be kind. Ask for opportunity to sow a seed. I witnessed to a guy last week. He did not make a profession of faith. But I can't help but think that any time that he hears something about salvation or heaven or hell, he's going to remember me and say, well, my neighbor tried to tell me about that. We're planting. We're sowing. Here's a guaranteed truth. A seed that is not sown doesn't produce a harvest. A seed that is sown could produce a harvest. Isn't there a better chance for a seed that is sown to produce a harvest than a seed that is not sown? So if you lay a track on the table or you talk to your, you know, here's how you start out. You that are shy and nervous at first, just lay a track down on the table. Just lay a track. If you have a relationship, if the waitress comes over and she or he's friendly and you can talk to him and you can start a conversation, you know how easy it is to transition to talking about something, talking about sports, and just say, hey, you know what? I really like you. I go to Victory Baptist Church, and I was just, if you ever get a chance to come by and see us, love to have you. Oh, thanks. Now they think that they received that tract because you like them. And that wouldn't be a lie. And they might even say, I like that person too. I'll go by and see him. It's not hard. Get to the next level of witnessing. You know, hey, now that you go to that restaurant all the time and you get the same waitress all the time, say, hey, do you know Jesus? You know, hey, I invited you to church. You haven't been able to come. I know you're probably busy all the time, but you know, that's not the most important thing. I think going to church is very important, but I don't think it's the most important thing at all. You know what the most important thing is, Sally? Do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven someday? That's the most important thing. Well, yeah, I know. Oh, really? Great. Tell me about it. How do you know you're going to go to heaven? That's awesome. Oh, you think it's being good. Do you believe the Bible? Of course I believe the Bible. Great. Hey, I won't take up your time because I know you're being a waiter and you're doing all your stuff right now. But I want you to know this. The Bible tells us very clearly your good works can't take you to heaven. But if you'll read that tract that I gave you, it'll tell you exactly what the Bible says about going to heaven. Man, I hope you have a great day. Leave a tip and leave. Because she thought going to heaven, now, see, you just taken the next step. You just thought going to heaven was being good. Now she's like, just rocked her world. Going to heaven, being good is not going to take me to heaven? What's this guy talking about? Next time I'm in there, hey, man, I want you to know I've read that track. I need to talk to you about that sometime. Glad to. Just tell me when. Could it work that way? Sure. Will it work that way? I don't know. I guarantee it won't work that way if you don't plant. You don't sow. Sow the word of God. It is absolutely imperative that you use the Bible when witnessing and leading a soul to Christ. That's why there's scripture all over those tracts and things. The salvation of a soul is the work of God, not us. Thus, you need to use the weapon of God. Ephesians 6:17 says the sword of the Spirit is what? Does anybody know what the sword of the Spirit is? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's the only offensive weapon we have. You know, I'm not a soldier. I've never been in battle. I've never been in the military. I suppose that if you're in the military, you have more than just one weapon. You have a knife. You have a gun. You may have a grenade. You may have a bazooka. You may have a tank. You may have a jet. I don't know. But in God's army, you've got a bunch of defensive weapons, defensive armor, and you only have one offensive weapon. You don't beat somebody over the head with your shield of faith. And you don't beat somebody over the head with your breastplate of righteousness. I'm right! Or, you better have faith! You don't beat people over the head with your righteousness or your faith. You don't take your shoe off and hit them up the side of the head with your peace. But the only weapon that we have is the sword. And it rightly divides. It cuts. It's two-edged. No matter which way you swing it, it's going to cut. It may cut them to rebellion, but that's not you. That's them. But it may cut them to righteousness. That's not you. That's him. All right? Our job isn't to see him saved. Our job is to sow. And then sometimes God gives you and me the opportunity to harvest that fruit. We'll talk about that. But we go and we sow. That's what we do. That's what we do. Father, help us to do the right thing. Help me to be a sower. Help me to be a goer. In Jesus' name, amen.